Marvin. Hi, Marvin.
Hey, I was going to ask you. I just had an ablation done last September, and mm-hmm. they got me on Eliquis.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of was doing nattokinase before with aspirin.
Sure.
And this Eliquis is very expensive.
Of course, it's a patent medicine. What do you want? They don't make cheap patent medicines.
is the nattokinase okay to take with it, or could I maybe cut off Eliquis and do nattokinase?
For one, there is no overlap between the Eliquis and the nattokinase, so don't worry about that. But the thing you do have to worry about, which sort of puts the nattokinase in an important but still secondary position, is to get that stuff to work. It has to be taken every 4 or 5 hours, including when we're asleep. So if a person's just had a stroke, yep, setting that alarm clock, taking it every 4 or 5 hours, it starts eating up clot, eating up clot, eating up clot. But it's got to be taken every 4 or 5 hours. Now, there is an alternative, sir. There is a gadget up at the University of Washington Libraries called a platelet aggregometer. And sooner or later, we're going to get one of those at Meridian Valley Lab, but we don't have it yet. What it does is checks how slippery the platelets are. Now, why do we want to do that? Well, Eliquis and aspirin, as you know, are supposed to make the platelets less slippery. Nattokinase does something entirely different. It chews up clot that's formed or forming, one or the other. It makes the platelets more slippery so that they won't form a clot in the first place. But gee whiz golly, it has all these other neat side effects and it's pricey as heck. And fish oil does the same blinking thing. You just have to have enough fish oil. Now, how much? It is possible to take so much fish oil that when we cut ourselves, we bleed and we won't stop bleeding. And I don't want you to take that much fish oil. I'm just saying it can be done. So obviously fish oil can do this. So what one does is find a doctor skilled and knowledgeable in natural medicine. Then what you do is you either get a referral to the University of Washington Laboratory and get your what's called platelet aggregation. That just means sticking together the platelets. You get that checked. Or you can go to Meridian Valley Laboratory and get what's called a blood viscosity checked. Now, blood viscosity is a reflection of how sticky the platelets are. So the platelet sticky test checks right on the platelets how slippery they are. The viscosity test checks how sticky the overall blood is. You can do either one of those tests, and then you start it on fish oil, and with a couple, three follow-up tests, you find out how much fish oil is needed for your particular body, because everybody's different, to keep their platelets slippery enough so that they're very unlikely to stick together. But on the other hand, not too slippery, so that if you do cut yourself, you won't bleed to death. And that can be done working with the doctor with either the platelet aggregation test or the blood viscosity test.
Oh, okay. Wow, I've never heard of that.
Well,
you know,
I know, sir.
I've taken fish oil in the past, doctor, and
yes.
I seemed minor. You know what? I'm taking flecainide. I was taking flecainide for my AFib, and then I've done this ablation, and I'm hoping I can get off this flecainide because I think there's tremendous side effects to this stuff.
You probably can get off that too, sir. I personally and all the other Tahoma Clinic doctors have been working with that issue ever since we went into practice, namely, and that for me that was about 43 years ago. What we do is, all right, you can never come off your medication abruptly unless it's going to kill you and then you better, but you come off it slowly as you introduce the natural things that do the same job except for better. And that is very possible to do with nearly any patent medicine out there.
And I'm almost pre-diabetic. I was usually not diabetic, and I was slowly going up to where I was 108, and I was just barely almost ready to go diabetic. Then I all of a sudden went up 150, and I had a 7.4 A1C.
Oops.
And then I went on vinegar and cinnamon.
Yay.
And I cut out my evening meal, and I lost 30 pounds, and now I'm 5.8 on the A1C and 6.0 on the A1C.
Good for you. You've been working on your own health, and that's the best way for any of us to get started is working
on
our
own. Doctor, what would you recommend other than cinnamon and vinegar?
Oh, my goodness. If you're not using any berberine, please look that one up. It has some definitely good effect on blood sugar control. It's been found equal to the number one patent medication, in fact, and that one's called metformin. But berberine can do just as well.
What about bitter melon?
Bitter melon, not so much for the type 2 diabetes as berberine, sir. That's kind of top of the list for the herbals for type 2 diabetes.
No, I thought it was berberine then, you know, with my flaconide.
No. Berberine was used by Native Americans in the American Northwest to kill infections. It does many, many things, but it is a very safe natural substance. Occasionally, it causes, what am I looking for? Yes, loose bowels in some people, and those people just have to back off. But other than that, berberine seems to be quite safe, sir.
Well, thank you so much, doctor.
You're welcome, and please work with a doc on this. Do the viscosity test, do the platelet test, whichever you and the doc decide on.
Does my regular insurance cover that?
Let's see. The viscosity test, probably not, because it's only done at Meridian Valley Laboratory, which doesn't take insurance, but the viscosity test is at the University of Washington. They probably do. So that might go into your decision, sir.
Okay. Thanks, doctor.
You're welcome.